I just said to you, it's too early for us to record. Have we ever recorded this early in the morning?
Never. Normally, I'm not even up this early. What are you talking about?
That's not even true. Trying to act like such a slacker over there.
Well, I rolled out of bed. I'm at my parents' house in Virginia, and I rolled out of bed and just had to wet my hair in the sink and redo it because I didn't have time for a full shower. And my hair looked a mess.
Oh, no. Can we talk about this special chair that you're sitting in right now?
I'm in my parents' like formal living room, and it's like, it looks like I'm in the White House's library or something.
Right.
Look at this print.
I'll have to post this on the Instagram for the people. You got paisleys, flowers.
I got it all. There's a lot of patterns going on in this room. And do you want to see the funniest thing?
Obviously, I do.
Ready?
There's still a Christmas tree up.
My mom leaves it up all year.
Christmas in July, I guess.
Well, we are having Christmas in July, which is why I'm home. But a few years ago, my mom was like, fuck it. I am tired of decorating this tree. So normally there's a sheet wrapped around it.
Mm-mm.
She's like, I'm not taking it down anymore.
Oh,
well, they
God.
Also used to be so insistent. Like they were never going to get a fake tree. And now that they're in their 70s, they're like, it's such a mess bringing in a real
tree. Too much.
And,
it's fun so when you have little kids, but it's
totally.
Like, yeah, it's so much. We get a fake tree too. My mom's been allergic forever. So
right.
I never really got that Christmas cheer.
Well, now if you need some Christmas cheer, you can come to my parents' house 365 days a year.
Anytime you show up, get that Christmas cheer.
There you go. There's still a Christmas. I wonder whose present that is. There's still a present over there.
Oh my God, should you open it?
Yeah. Or as it is.
Report back later with what's in the present. You can report back next week for all the listeners.
Okay.
So you're in Virginia, but you had quite the big 4th of July weekend, and
ooh,
I haven't
yes.
had a chance to hear about it, and I would love to.
Well, if anybody listens, they know I love a good water park.
Yeah.
I've had friends in town for like 5 weeks, and so we had some other friends come into town. And we were just trying to figure out something that like would be fun for a big group to do. And we landed on the Opryland Hotel in Nashville has this like $100 million water park they built a few years ago. And it's called Sound Waves. And it is indoor outdoor. So it's like, even if a lightning storm comes, like the indoor park stays open. And so we were like, this is sort of a foolproof plan. The way that you get in is you have to either book a room at the hotel that comes with the Soundwave package. And those rooms are like $600 a night. And they were doing a 2-night minimum. So we were like, screw that. Cause you only get like four passes to the water park per room or something like that.
Okay.
And, so we rented a party, like a kid's birthday party room for 2 hours, and it got all like, we were able to have up to 30 people come in for $63 a person. And it came with like unlimited soda for the 2 hours of the party room, unlimited pizza, which, you know, I think it was limited, but it was more pizza than we could eat. But, and we did it like right when we got there. So we had 2 hours where we could just sort of like chill, like get acquainted with the park and have our stuff locked in a room. And then they have these like really high tech lockers that you get. Your wristband is associated with the locker. So it's like you walk up and you swipe it and it's like, do you want to cancel your locker for the rest of the day? Or are you going to be relocking it? And then your locker pops open. Like, anyway, it's so nice. And they limit the number of people that go there. So it's never overcrowded. So the lines move really quickly.
Mm.
And I am a pussy when it comes to like scary slides. Normally, I'm
which is
like,
hilarious to me. Like that you're like flapping around on the jet ski doing all these.
I know. Well, you know, because like for me, like, have you ever seen somebody try to get me on the back of a jet ski? I won't do it. I'm terrified.
Oh, you need to be in control.
Like literally Steph was driving me on it and I was like crying in her ear, like, let me off. but yeah, they have this one slide where you get in and a chamber closes around you and you hear 3, 2.
Oh, I've heard about
1,
this part.
And the floor drops out from under you.
I've heard it's actually
and I was
pretty
like,
scary.
It was terrifying. I was like, before the chamber closed, I was like, I can't do this. I have to get out. I have to get out. And then I thought about the 7-year-old who went right before me. And I was like, you get out and have to walk down these stairs. You will literally never live to like see the end of this from your friends.
No.
So I, because everyone was at the end, like waiting for me to come down and like watch me do it. So I did it, and it was, you know, the, it literally takes like 2 seconds and you're done, you know, yeah. Like it's done so fast. But like that split second where that door opens, I think, what the fuck have I done? Because it's like, whoa, you're just gone.
Be
it's,
honest.
It's pretty amazing.
Did but, you pee in your pants at all?
No, I did
like
not.
From fear. Did you take a little friend, shit my, in your pants when that door dropped?
No shit. But my,
that was I, just the one the, time.
We were in the Lazy River and I looked over and my friend had thrown up in the pool.
What?
I'm dead. I looked at him. I was like, did you just throw up? It dissipated really quickly. And he was like, no. And I was like, yeah, you did. I saw it.
Oh my
so
God.
How I made fun of him on the whole day. It's he got water and up his nose or something and it caused him to like choke.
Yeah.
And he was like so red from coughing and then he went back underwater and that's what he threw up underwater.
Ew.
Ew. Oh. I'm like, so if like an adult, if that happens to an adult, think what the kids are doing. Like
oh, there's all groaning. Sorts of things coming out of all sorts of orifices. We just don't even know.
Ew.
Ew. Well, that sounds really fun, except for the throw up part. But
yeah, thank God I was past him the direction that the water was flowing. So
thank God you don't want any of those chunks to seep in.
Ew.
I just told you, I was like, what's your update going to be? And you were like, oh, I think I'll talk about sound waves. And I was like, cool, I'm going to talk about the patriarchy. And you were like, oh my God.
I love that you have a patriarchy update. I can't
well, remember. It's not, hold on, my Zoom window just closed on me. Oh, there we are. Okay. So yeah, a patriarchy update for the people. So basically, I've been reading this book. It's called A Radical Awakening, and it's by this lady named Dr. Shefali, and I found her on the Oprah podcast, of course, you know, where I find all my people.
Oh, my God.
People get so sick of me talking about it because I'm so obsessed with Oprah. but anyway, she's amazing, and I'm reading this book, and it's amazing, and she talks, you know, just about her journey. From breaking the rules of the patriarchy and, you know, really having a radical awakening within herself as a woman and a female and what that means for her life and relationships. And, but it, the point being that I'm getting right now is, you know, I've spent a lot of years really angry at men and just like, this is bullshit. And like, especially just like white heterosexual men. And so I think that I'm like frustrated with the patriarchy, but this book is really great because she's not really like, downing on men, you know, she's saying there is a problem with some mentalities, but it's a bigger issue than just men. It's us too. And it's the programming that we've all had our entire lives up until this point that we're all operating under. So women are operating in a role within the patriarchy as well. And so I'm learning all this stuff and kind of looking at myself like, yeah, actually this is right. And how much have I played into using, you know, like things like, you know, a man's going to be attracted to certain looks. So dressing a certain way and making that make you feel validated, but still starting to realize like, no, that's still external validation, or that's still playing into exactly what you're getting angry about. And so I'm sitting here reading this book while I'm on vacation this weekend. And I'm also posting all these bikini pictures from my vacation. And I'm like, oh my God. God, what a hypocrite. Or is this actually what I want to be doing? You know, there's a lot of things like I have a deal with Revolve. And so they send me a bunch of clothes that I love and I want to keep that deal. I love Revolve. It's like my favorite clothing company that I shop for from. And so to get sent clothes from them every month is awesome because I love them. And so my obligation though is to obviously post about it. And so I'm doing that, but I'm also like, wait, if I'm posting in this bikini, is it like sexualizing myself? Am I like using sex to sell? Am I downplaying all the other aspects of myself by only posting about this stuff? And so I'm not like going to stop doing that right this second because I'm still navigating what I even want in that. But the other point being like, I'm way more than just a bikini picture, right? And like, I think a lot of us are. And so I want to just make sure that I'm authentically communicating who I am as human and not just like, oh, let me try to sell some clothes or something, you know, like.
Totally. Yeah. Well, I mean, look, you don't only post bikini pics.
True.
I think it's important to remember that. Well, and I also think you need to ask yourself who you're doing it for. Like, if you feel like you look hot and you're proud of yourself, then fucking post a bikini pic. Sure. Like, you know, I'm curious if this book, like, how far back it goes into, like, humanity. Because I would imagine that, like, this whole patriarchal system, like, goes back to, like, caveman days where someone had a baby while someone went and hunted, you know? Like, so I feel like probably 9.9 times out of 10, the bigger, stronger person in the relationship was the man who went hunting. So it was like,
well, listen, it's
not to say that that's the way that it needs to be today, because we don't have to go kill our food, you know? Like, but
yeah, but that's
that system is that ingrained into who we are genetically as human beings.
Sure. And I actually don't know that. To me, that's not a problem. Like, I actually believe in masculine and feminine energies and, like, the things that, like, my boyfriend and I talk about this all the time. He's like, I want to be, like, a provider for you. It gives me joy. I like it. You know, like, he really thrives on providing in the certain ways that are pretty typical of a man in this society. I actually really thrive on, like, I've noticed this mostly around his girls. Like, it has given me so much joy to be able to nurture and, like, mother in a way and, like, give those kind of loving qualities that I didn't even fully understand that I possessed until those relationships to other people, you know? And that's a very typical feminine role. And I don't think those things are wrong. Like, I think masculine and feminine energies are within all of us. And some people are like, I'm way more on the feminine scale with my energy, but it's about finding balance. And I don't think you should shame yourself for that though. Like, I don't think
no, I agree.
Those aren't the issues, but like the other conversations that I'm having, you know, sometimes are just like how certain guys that I'm around, like, I mean, especially in the industry I work in, refer to women or like talk about, oh, she's so fucking hot or, you know, like things that I'm just like, wait, how, I don't know. Like, I'm still dissecting what this is. So it's like kind of hard for me to talk about all the time, but as women, I think sometimes I know I feel competition against other women or like I'm put on this scale of like, am I hotter than her? Or is she hotter than me? And like, those kind of things are the things that I actually think are the issues because they're like objectifying us in this way that we feel like we're going to be measured on some scale against another woman, thus hindering our own psyche and our ability to support other women.
Right. And don't you think that happens to men too? Like,
I was just about to. Absolutely. And that she talks about this in that book is just like men are objectified on different levels. Like, being quote unquote strong or being successful. And like it, but I'm asking the questions of like, if we're all judging each other on these external things, like what kind of disservice are we actually doing to who people actually are? And that's the problem with the patriarchy to me.
It's totally. Not, yeah.
So anyway, well, I'm just,
you know, what's funny is like, you know, in your Instagram feed, like you, I see on my explore page, like, these people that literally, I mean, seemingly the only thing they have going for them is that they're hot. And totally. They have like hundreds of thousands of people follow them or even millions in some cases.
Right.
And, you know, obviously it's the first thing that we see about anybody is what they look like. So the physicality is the first thing that we can judge someone on. So if like you never talk to somebody, all you have is, you know, what you're seeing. So so that explains some of that. But like, what does it say about us as human beings that like, these are the people that we are most drawn to like click and like, you know, like it's like, crazy. And it's, and Instagram is feeding into that problem, I think, and exacerbating it because it's like someone who doesn't look like those people wakes up every day and is assaulted with these visuals and wonders why no one's following them. You know,
and it's social media in general, I think has exacerbated an issue that was already there, but it's made it so much more acceptable to be like, cause people are quote unquote Instagram models or getting famous from social media. And a lot of times it is based off of how much you're exposing, the shock factor, how hot you are. And I don't know if there's anything wrong with that. I know for me, I'm starting to get to, maybe this is an age thing, but like you know, that isn't a driving factor in my life as much as it once was, maybe. Also, I think when you start aging, you realize like, oh, this shit is fleeting, like they say.
Right.
And there's only so much you can control about that. And so what else? Like, what else do you bring to the table? And one of our friends actually has been on me for a while. Like, you talk this talk about really, you know, wanting to like spiritually grow with people. And that's what makes, that's what drives you. That's where you feel the real connection with humans. And then you post a bikini pic. And so she's like, so I'm just confused and I know you. And so that's really where it's coming from, is this like underlying question I've been asking myself of like, yes, what are my motives? Two, what do I actually want to be contributing to society and communicating to the people in the community that we have built? And I don't know that it has to be one or the other. Like I always say, I want to be Velvet and Edge. And so maybe there's a way to be all of it, but I just want to be all of it versus like
right.
trying to like, or just communicating a part of me or a part truth, or, you know, like I like clothes. So I'm just going to talk about clothes. Like that feels like it really dumbs me down, to be honest. And so
yeah,
these are just, anyway, the questions I'm debating. The book is awesome. If anyone is starting to ask themselves these same types of questions, or maybe just wanting to grow and like challenge yourself, I think these are the questions being asked of our culture as a whole. And I personally want to be a part of the conversation, and I know I've contributed to the problem. So I'm ready to like really try to learn about that and look at it. And that's,
here come the moomoos.
Here come the bob.
What if I'm gonna get you ice cream. I'm gonna make you eat ice cream every time we're together. I want to see you curvier.
Oh, you fucking asshole.
Curvy Kelly. It's going to be your Cabbage Patch Kid, Curvy Kelly.
Well, if you also want to see me shit my pants, feed me a bunch of ice cream because I don't do dairy. So,
hey, that, I mean, talk about humility.
You're like, she wants to be removed from the conversation of objectification. Let's just
yeah,
have her shit her pants.
Yeah, there's nothing sexy about poo-poo in your pants.
Oh, we know. You told us. Anyway, also, you guys go check out the comments on my Instagram page. It's at Velvet's Edge. There was a mixed bag. You know, it was like funny.
About your bikini pics?
Well, I posted a bikini pic and then had this huge caption asking all of these questions and just kind of the struggle that I've been internally having and wanting people to give me their insight. And also like, do y'all struggle with this too? Because I don't really know the next right step sometimes. And I love to hear what other people are doing. And then there were some guys who contributed and I thought it was actually really interesting because it's that same thing of like, I used to say like, you know, I'm not racist. How could you even say I'm racist? Like, I don't think about Black people as different. I don't like, I didn't contemplate it. And so I thought that meant I wasn't racist. And then when all of this stuff really flared up again with Black Lives Matter, I realized that not paying attention to it and not understanding another perspective is actually a part of the problem, you know?
Like, yeah.
But
yeah,
I didn't get it.
Racism.
I didn't get it because I grew up in the South in a certain way. I just like had certain mindsets that I didn't even know I had. And it's the same thing with women. And that's all I'm saying.
Totally. Yeah. Yeah.
Did you have more?
I'll just have to read through your Instagram stuff.
Okay.
I used to follow, I can't remember what the handle is. I feel like it was called like Unnecessary Caption or something like that. And it was like thirsty pics, but then being like, it would, you know, like, and it wasn't like what you were actually trying to get to the heart of a matter. This would be like a, you know, a thirsty girl in a bathing suit and would be like, you guys, global warming is a problem, you know, like, oh, you know, like, and it'd just be like, what?
Oh my God. Know? I work for this one client of mine and he's a comedian and he, we were talking the last time we were on a set and he was like making fun of kind of the same issue about how girls, and this is such an influencer thing. I'm sure I've fucking done it, but you like post a picture in this really cute outfit and like, you obviously like got really done up, did your makeup. You're like full blown glam. And then they're like, just devoured up. 12 pack from Chick-fil-A,
And
you're like, you're like, come on, bitch, you don't need that.
Yeah, there is no chance in hell.
Right. We were just laughing.
Hashtag sponsored. Hashtag ad.
Hashtag I'm not really wearing this right now.
Oh my God.
Anyway, well, a couple of the topics I touched on in my patriarchy rant kind of filter us into this next topic that you and I were going to talk about today. Instagram has been, you know, a big contributor, I would say, in a lot of my friendship issues over the past, I don't know, 10 years. Like, as an adult, I think that social media, and this probably, I'm sure, goes for younger kids too, but it can really affect the way that we look at our friends, the relationships we have with our friends. Maybe their opinions come out a little bit more on social media that they would never say in real life. Like, things like that, really, these dynamics really play into friendships and maybe also friendship breakups. So you and I were going to kind of talk about how to handle adult friend breakups, because Lord knows we've both been through some.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I also think too, it's like, you know, the social media part of it is, I mean, it's just, it lends itself to exposing ourselves, sides of ourselves that, like, maybe we would be a little bit more, we would keep a little bit more guarded. Yeah. Just because I feel like sometimes people are, like, looking for things to say, or like how easy it is to share something that is just, like, inappropriate or might upset somebody that's close to you, because it's a snap moment where you're like, you don't realize, like, how it might, you know, affect somebody that you actually care about, or maybe you don't care about and didn't realize that your friendship was based on nothing, you know, like, because sometimes I think anybody who's listening, like, we've all had friends that were like, why am I friends with this person? You know what I mean? Like, at some point in our life. And sometimes it's not even for a nasty reason. You're just like, oh, they're fun to be around, you know, or whatever the reason is. And it's not anything that has any sort of, like, it's not based in anything that's, like, super real
or substantial.
Substantial. Yeah.
Yeah. I think in your 20s, or I don't know, maybe this was the case for me, and I'm curious if it was for you too, but in your 20s, a lot of times you are looking for the friends you can just have fun with, you know, or like, or you can kind of maybe file some people away, like, oh, well, that's who I go do X, Y, and Z with. And that's who I go party with. And that's who I know I can call when I actually really need something. But you keep the riffraff around because, especially if you're single, you have the time, you have the space, you have the energy, you have less responsibilities at a younger age. And so, like, it doesn't really matter. You're like, oh, I'll go have a drink with this person. But, like, am I going to call them if I cut off my leg? Probably not. You know, like, that kind of dynamic. Then you get older, and sometimes I think it's conscious and sometimes it's just not, but you can start to get in these dynamics with people where, I don't know, maybe you want more from relationships. You have less time. You start to, like, really want to spend the time and energy that you have into the relationships that can cover more than just a party vibe for you or a fun vibe. And so
you've, like, probably read more in your life. Like, you have stronger opinions about things.
Exactly.
Where it's like, I mean, politics probably plays a role into a lot of it. And it's like, I never gave a shit about politics when I was, like, I mean, I started voting when I was 18, but I wasn't that informed. Like,
no,
I was just kind of, like, voted on party lines and was like, well, this is what I am. Like, I'm going to vote this. So, you know, I think we're just more educated. The older you get, you learn more and you figure out more about yourself and about the world.
Yeah. And I think you know yourself more. So you're just like,
right.
Did you just say that?
Yeah. But
I had a, like, brain. I was like, wait, did he just say that? Or am I, like, I should have said, yeah, I agree. I'm just checking my email, guys. No, I'm not actually. I was thinking about your point and I meant to say, yes, I agree with you. You know yourself more. You know where you stand. I do think also the nature of the culture matters, because, like, lately politics are so divisive.
Yeah.
It's like, You can, it's really difficult to be friends with people who are on the other side. Instead of like in the past, I was just like, ah, oh, they vote the other way. It doesn't matter though.
Well, I think it was one of those things where it's like politics was really something that like people didn't talk about.
Yeah.
You know, it wasn't like, I mean, yeah, it was in the news, but it wasn't like the news.
It was just like now personal it's opinion. Like,
totally. Yeah. It's like you go to any sort of news website or watch any sort of news channel and it is what the news is.
Right. So you what know? Do you have any personal experience with adult friendship breakups and what thoughts do you have about that for the people?
Well, I mean, yeah, it's like, I've probably got a lot of experience with it, like some more dramatic than others. I mean, I'm somebody that's moved a lot. Like I grew up in Virginia. I went to college in Virginia. I moved to New York. I lived there for 6 years and I moved to LA. I lived there for 11 years. And now I've been in Nashville for almost six. And it's like, because of some of those moves, friendships deteriorate, you know, and yeah. Like some to more degree than others. It's like true with my true, like closest, the people that I love the most. It's like, I cannot talk to them for a year and get on the phone with them or like go on a trip and see them. And it's like, we pick up right where we left off, you know, yeah. Like, and that's easy because friends love each other and you don't, you know, it's like, you don't feel the pressure to like, feel like you have to provide something to them. You know, it's just like being you is all that they need. And then you learn about the friends, like when distance is created, where it's a little bit more of a struggle and you're like, wow, this person drives me fucking crazy. You right. know, like, and then there's the ones that like, if you never heard or saw their name again, like you'd be like, wow, I forgot about that person. So it's like, I was more friendly than friends. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And then they're the ones that are in your life that you're like, why is this person in my life? Like, we just don't see eye to eye on anything other than just having a good time. And, you know, at this age, like, I don't need that sort of drama. So, you know, it's, and look, I'm not the type that likes to fight. Like, I don't like to argue. I don't like things to be super dramatic. I would much rather things sort of fizzle. But, you know, the older you get too, it's like, I want to understand why I'm making decisions that I'm making and not just be a fucking pussy and like run from things just because it's more comfortable to like not have to deal with shit. Mm-hmm. But then there's sometimes where it's like, literally the drama is not worth it. You know, like you have to just remove yourself from a situation because there's typically in those cases, it's like there's an impasse and you're not like fighting about something, arguing about something, or even trying to work something out is going to yield the same result as just walking away.
Right.
And most recently, I think that's kind of what happened in a, you know, I don't need to really go into details, but like, I think that's kind of what happened in a relationship of mine. And, you know, my I would still call the person a friend, you know, it's like, we're just on different planes and, you know, I wish them nothing but like happiness and health. And which, I mean, to be honest, even when we were closer, like that was what I wanted for them too, you know? Mm. And, you know, it's sometimes people don't want to help themselves, you know? And there's only so much that you can do for a person. I'm always of the mindset to try and like have the like smoothest exit possible. Mm-hmm. But if it's somebody that you just like, that I like fucking love and want them in my life and like am willing to fight for it, then maybe it's a little bit more of a bumpy sort of situation where you do like lean into the fight because it's something that like you need, you know, you're fighting right. for yourself. You're not necessarily fighting with them. You're fighting for something that you really want and love, you know? And I think that applies to like romantic relationships too. It's not just like a friend thing. So.
I actually think that all of these topics of friendship breakups are probably the same things you bump up against in your romantic relationships. Like, yeah. As you were talking, I was just thinking about my two major adult friendship breakups, and they've both involved us starting to work together. And
yeah, that's interesting.
That's a tough one because I think that, you know, we all have these dynamics with our friends. I can think about people that are, you know, my very best friends now that I love so incredibly much, that bring so much to my life, that offer me so much love and support and kindness and generosity and all the things that I would want in a friendship. I also would have a difficult time like being in a partnership or like maybe even a marriage with a couple of my friends that I feel that way about. And so that's an interesting thing to think about is like, you know, somebody on a certain level, but like when you open yourself up to this deeper expansion, like you do have to be prepared for what comes with that. And I think it can work, but I think it's like the awareness factor that I didn't necessarily factor in, the differences in my personalities with that of those two relationships that I'm speaking of. I mean, I'm pretty sure everyone knows one of them because it was on fucking TV. So, but you know,
well, like, also too, it's like when you go for it.
Oh, I didn't have anything. I was laughing.
Oh, I was just going to say like, and you know, in terms of like that work relationship too, it's like different things motivate us.
That's
when it
right.
comes to work, you know, and totally. It's like, when you take friendship and you turn it into a work relationship, you're going to see sides of people that like didn't need to be there for your friendship because it was about a different thing. So when the motivation behind your friendship changes, you better be ready to like react to it or accept it because, you know, it might not be what you thought it was. Well, and I think that's what you kind of learned, like,
yeah,
in this one particular relationship. Like,
well, you know, we had different motivations, just like you said. And I think that's very clear. And I'm pretty sure the other side would say the same thing. And those motivations or the things that maybe drive us in life are the things that matter, or the willingness to show up to even like work through thing, like all of that was off. And so when you think about it in terms of like, if you were thinking about it in a romantic relationship, I would look at that person and be like, I could never date or marry that person because we couldn't build a life together because we want different things. Right. Did it work on a different level of fun and laughter and all of those things? Absolutely. So that's where it gets really sad because it doesn't mean that all of that history didn't factor in or matter or go away, you know? And I think that's where the pain can come in a lot of times. This whole conversation got started, I should mention too, because of social media. And I texted you yesterday because of some stuff that I was seeing and just feeling completely exposed again. And, you know, the things you can make up in your head are happening when you see pictures on social media, like what the conversations are behind the scene or what people are saying about you. And that is a huge aspect of friendship breakups that I think can really play into like our grieving of it or our mentalities or our anger or how we process the breakup, because God, it got in my head yesterday. Like just feeling like, oh, this is so frustrating because I know they're going to say this and that's not true about me, but it's this narrative in their head for whatever reason. And it's so frustrating to not be there and be able to defend yourself. And you were like, Kelly, it doesn't fucking matter.
Right. Well, I mean, the thing is like that, and that's not, the truth is that's not even you that's worrying. That's your ego stepping in being like, they're going to be talking about me when literally they were probably talking about what their favorite flavor of Truly is. You know what I mean? Like, because they have nothing to offer the world, these people that we're referring to. And, you know, it's like, the only reason they probably like, they might not even have been hanging out. They like ran into each other on the beach and took a picture to share on social media because they want to boost each other's numbers. It's like, it's probably literally that simple. But the way that we react to those things, like you go so deep on it. And I'm like, wait a minute, you don't even care if these people like you, which is crazy how it can snowball.
Well, it was my ego. And it was also, I think it was feeling infiltrated in my entire life, like worlds colliding and just feeling like, oh my God. And you said to me again, you reminded me, none of those people believe the same things you do, are on the same journey that you are. Like, it doesn't matter. Like, let them go. And you can do it with love. Like, with love, just let people go and let them go on their journeys, but it doesn't align with yours anymore. And so that's right. The bigger thing is stop making up stories in your head. You're right. Like, I don't know that they were talking about, that's like my ego being like, oh, they're talking about me, but like, no, they're probably not. Like, right. Nobody cares about you the way you care about you, or nobody, like, you're not in anybody's mouth as much as, you know, you think you want to think you are. So, and even if they are saying shit, why do I care? Like, right. I know my truth.
Totally. Yeah. It's like, in the same way that, like, you know, we're veiledly not so veiledly discussing them now, but it's like, I mean, it's, I don't care. Like, go live your life, girls, you know, like right. Live your lives. Because live it doesn't affect life. Me. Like, it can only affect you if you choose to let those things affect you, you know? Mm-hmm. And I know a lot of times it doesn't feel like a choice because their feelings and they come across you and like, but you have to process them. And the choice is whether or not you let it affect you or you say, bye bitch, you know, like, cause you don't really need it. It's like those things ruin your day, you know?
Oh and man. It's it.
Wait. And I know like we both process things very differently. Like you're much more of a feeler and I'm just like, I've got my fucking Rain-X on. I'm
right.
Like, let it roll off. I went through the car wash this morning.
Oh, my God, Rain-X.
Hashtag ad.
You've got like your poncho on. You're just yeah, like, letting like, that shit roll.
Let it rain. Let it rain.
Yeah, it did. It sent me down a spiral for maybe like a full hour. I was like dark. It kind of took you saying to me, like, snap out of it for me to go, wait a second. I have processed this. I've done this dance already. I know the journey that I'm on. It doesn't have to, their like happiness, success, their journey, it doesn't have to take anything away from mine. They're just different, right. You know? And right. I'm just going to try to send them off with love and not say bye, bitch, like you would. but you know,
but that's with love too, you know?
Yeah. Like, I mean, it's been a painful process in both situations. And the one of them though, it's been interesting because as we've gotten really removed from it, I think we can go back to a place of appreciating each other and each other's journeys versus being like pissed off that it didn't work out. Like we just are different, like you said, and she's in a great place now. And I also feel like I'm moving towards a better place to happen and have my own stuff going on. And it doesn't have to like, we don't have to compete. We don't have to like be mad at each other. It was just not, it was all there at the time for the reason it served its purpose. And now we've gone our separate ways. So,
right. Yeah.
What was interesting though, is when we first thought of this topic, I literally was like, let me just see if there's anything on the internet. I Googled, is there like something about how to survive a friendship breakup? And a million articles popped up. Like Oprah's talked about this, not that, you know, just to drop Oprah again, Goop has this article that I'm going to read now, Women's Health, all these things. So this is a thing people deal with. And I think a lot of times with friendships, we try to hold on to things because of the history versus like, does this relationship actually serve me in the same way that we would look at a romantic relationship? But I thought this was interesting. Goop asked the question, what's the psychology behind friendship breakups and why are they so painful? And I'm not going to read their whole answer because it's really long, but ultimately the big answer was we're grieving a part of us that we think we can't be without. And also it makes us question ourselves when relationships don't work out. So like if you bump up against something or someone has a big issue with you, and I know this is totally the case for me, it makes you go, wait, do I do that? Or like, did I bring that to the table? Was this my fault? Like that person is so specifically saying this as it's like this fact, even though I don't feel like that's true, it makes you start to question yourself.
Right. Yeah.
And I think that's actually a really normal thing. Ultimately,
you know what's funny is that I wonder why most of the websites that you found this stuff on are female leaning too. Like, mm-hmm. I wonder if there is something to this, like women hanging on to, because you're more emotional beings, hanging on to like the idea of a friendship more than in men.
I can see that. I also think dudes are either just like, whatever, dude. And they move on and keep the friendship, but like they kind of file it away in certain places. Or they just in their relationship and they're just like done. I don't, yeah, I don't think there's so many, as many emotional ties. I could be wrong, but yeah, if you're a dude listening, write into us at theedge@velvetsedge.com. Cause I would be curious about that too. Like if guys have gone through friendship breakups and it's affected them in the same capacity.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm curious.
Go ahead.
I was just going to say like, because the ones that the examples in my life that I'm trying to think of, like, involve women on the other side, but like that's also I tend to be closer friends with women anyway, like but I can't think of any like male friend breakup situations in my life. Like I feel like I've just moved on.
Well, that's what I was gonna say. I don't feel like dudes even really fight in the or disagree or do, you know, those kind of conversations like women do,
right?
So it's more like, let's go grab a beer and get over this, or let's just not talk anymore and it's just done. But
right.
That brings up a good point too, because, you know, I have another really close friend that I'm thinking about right now, and she and I don't always agree. But what we do right is hear each other when we don't agree and then just move on and respect the other person's side. Like it doesn't have to affect me that she doesn't think exactly like I do on certain topics. Or the times where we've offended each other, like, you know, she said to me before, like, when you said this, it like really pissed me off or it really bothered me. And I'm able with her, because I don't feel like she's just attacking me for no reason, to listen and go, oh, wow, like, you know, let me look at that, or that wasn't my intention, and just have a conversation and then we can move on.
Right.
So I don't know. It's interesting that like there's just certain people that maybe you just can't communicate with in the same way.
Well, some people just aren't communicative people. Like they don't know how to even like, I don't love confrontation. So
yeah,
even something as simple as like, hey, that hurt my feelings. Even when I'm not mad about it, like it that is a scary thing to have to say to somebody, because it opens up the door to a bigger conversation where it's like, okay, where is this going to lead?
Mm-hmm.
Whereas, you know, I could also just make the choice to be like, get your panties out of a bunch and just move on. Like they didn't mean to hurt your feelings.
Right.
And that's often the road that I will take, because it's the confrontation is too much of a mountain for me to climb sometimes.
Yeah, that's so interesting. I don't care about confrontation at all. I would always like, it doesn't threaten me. It doesn't like upset me. I'm like, let's just fucking talk about this and then let's move on. Like,
right.
But I want everyone to be able to be honest, you know, because then that's when I actually feel the closest to people, is when we're, especially like if you can bring something to the table and then talk through it and hear each other, even if you don't fully agree, to me, that's when you get truly closer and more vulnerable with people. Like that is,
well, it also really truly allows you to move on, because you're not like,
you're not harboring resentment.
It's like, because that shit you never truly forget, you know. You're like, oh, this is that person that fucking said this to me that time, and it's like, well, that's because you didn't bury the hatchet. Like, you know, like you just have to like get past these things, or you've never gotten past them.
Yeah, exactly. I do think when you said earlier about the thing about some people just don't know how to communicate, like that is a big problem in relationships in general. And like, I know I don't do it, you know, the best at all times, but if we're not willing to learn how to be better or how to do it, and we just shut down as humans or write things off, or like you're saying, like not even confront the issue, like we're not helping anyone really, especially ourselves. Cause I don't think you can fully have the full spectrum of how great a relationship could be if you're not living in your truth.
Right. I've learned this about myself recently, like not that recently, but like in my older age, like it's the fear of confrontation. Like I do this thing where it's like, if I know that like, say a breakup or an argument or something that I need to have is coming, like I'll lay in bed at night and try and like map out the conversation. Like,
right.
I'm going to say this and they're going to say this, or they'll say this. And then it's like, I become so overwhelmed by it that I don't even want to have the conversation. And the truth is like a lot of time in those moments where it's like, maybe the confrontation's out of my control and someone confronts me about something, I'll get really nervous and not be able to find the words, or like, I'm not prepared. And so I've learned that like, sometimes just listening and saying, I hear you, I understand, is the best form of communication that I know how to do, because then it allows me to walk away from the situation and really process what they've said to me, and then come back and either apologize or explain, or because otherwise, like when I feel myself getting nervous, like I'll say things that like I'm not even thinking, like,
or you don't even mean.
Or you're just trying to like respond in some way to make them feel better. And it often will make the situation worse.
Right.
And I have found that like sometimes like walking away from the situation with the information for you to process, and then going back and saying like, look, I've thought about this and I'm really sorry if like the way that I spoke to you or the way that I did something like affected you in that way. It's like, that's never my MO, is to hurt anybody's feelings, you know?
Totally.
But in the moment of an argument being like, I would never hurt your feelings, like, that's a lie because I did.
And also, like, you're human, just like everyone. Yeah. And like, we're all going to fuck up at some point and not do, like, and we're going to hurt each other in relationship. That's part of it. Like, my mom always used to say, where there's people, there's problems. And there's just going to be. But so it's about, that's what I was trying to say about the friend that I do have, that we can work through stuff when it comes up. So much so that now, like, I probably trust her more than anyone, because I know she's going to tell me when I upset her or she's upset or pissed off. And I also know she's not going to leave me. Like, we'll like work through something, you know?
Well, because you're worth fighting for. Like,
thank you.
She has proven to you that like your friendship is worth fighting for.
Right.
And I think that like, you know, that is important in any real relationship in your life. That like,
totally.
It ain't always going to be fucking sunshine and rainbows. Like, you might have to fight for what you want. And that might not be pretty all the time, but like, at least there's like conviction in the relationship, you know?
Well, and if you're long-term friends with anybody, like everyone goes through seasons, right? Like goes through bad seasons. Like she went through a divorce. That was a really bad season. I just went through a really fucking bad season where I've been a wreck and I have not been the best version of myself by any means. And so I think it's also about giving each other the space to like ride through something with another person and hold space for them and be there to support them. And also know that like on the other side, either they're going to get back to, you know, the way they were and things are going to be great, or they're going to even evolve into a better version. And it's just about like letting each other have the space to do that while also supporting each other and not trying to like change somebody or not let them go through their process or whatever. I was actually on this Goop thing. They're talking about what's the most important thing when it comes to strengthening our psychological immune system and by extension, our friendship. And they say, be true to your values, double down on all the things in your life that promote self-love and healing. If it suits you, learn to meditate, walk by the ocean with your feet in the sand, eat whole foods, limit the time you spend on your computer or phone. Allow curiosity to lead you down uncharted pathways, engage in conversation with a stranger, hold hands with your children, give yourself permission to make mistakes, forgive others every day, forgive yourself every hour. Don't hold resentment tightly. Look for the beauty in the world. Laugh at yourself, laugh with others, and be present. When we can do these things, there are fewer reasons to break up with a close friend and a better chance at loving them even more. It always goes back to your relationship with yourself.
100%.
Oh, Lord. Well, that gives us something to work on. If you guys have more interest in learning about things you can do, like if you're going through a friendship breakup, there is a million articles out there. There are a million articles out there. So just Google. What I Googled was how to survive a friendship breakup. And there's all kinds of things about specifically adult friendship breakups, which I think people feel silly for, but they do happen. So we should all investigate those. I do have a couple listener emails. I know we're running short on time, so I'll just do a couple. But Sarah wrote in and she said, hey, you guys really opened my eyes to something. I've been having the same problem getting a car. She's talking about rental cars. We talked about this last week on The Edge and how the rental car situation is a real problem and really difficult to navigate nowadays because a lot of the companies sold their cars during COVID, so there's less cars. But Sarah says, having the same problem getting a car and my flight to Oklahoma from California would be less than a car. But I learned of a new service from the Sore Losers podcast. That's another podcast on the Nashville Podcast Network. But it's called Turo, T-U-R-O. Have you heard of this, Chip?
Yeah, it's like where you can rent somebody else's car.
Yes, my brother actually told me about this and I totally forgot, but it's basically like Airbnb, but for cars. So if anyone's really struggling, I thought that was a really good tip from Sarah and just a reminder of that company. I think that's a great idea, personally.
I'm going to look for my trip now.
There you go. Okay, we do have a Friday floozy that's adding into Carla's story from last week. Carla was caught in the barracks. Is that the right way to say that?
Like a barracks? Yeah, Army barracks?
Yeah, okay. She was. So if you haven't heard that story, go back and look. How am I going to fucking talk about the patriarchy and talk about Friday floozies? This is what I'm saying to you, Chip.
if they're owning their floosiness, then... It's not like you like looked at a picture of somebody and said, oh, she looks like a floozy.
I'm like, what a fucking floozy. Yeah. Okay. This is from Allison. She said, oh my God, I just listened to your July 2nd episode and I was dying. I completely relate to Carla's story as something similar also happened to me. When my husband and I first started dating, I was in the barracks during a surprise inspection. The difference is they let everyone go back to their rooms prior to the inspection to unlock and open the doors. He could put a key lock on his closet though. So I quickly grabbed my things and he locked me in the closet.
Oh my God.
I sat in there during his room inspection and tried not to laugh out loud while I listened to him explain why there was a padlock on his closet. This was almost 10 years ago and we still laugh about it to this day. I actually love that story. That's a funny one. Your kids are like, how'd you meet? It's like that kind of thing, you know? They're like, what's the funniest thing that ever happened to you, mom and dad?
Oh my gosh.
You're like, well, Sonny, there was this one time that I got locked in a closet.
Mommy had to come out of the closet.
But not for what you're thinking.
Yeah, not what you're thinking.
Oh my God. You guys keep the emails coming to theedge@velvetsedge.com. It's no longer at casual@velvetsedge.com, although we do still own that email address. So I'll keep checking, but theedge@velvetsedge.com. Or you can DM me on Instagram. It's @VelvetsEdge. Chip is @ChipDorsch. Go ahead, Chip.
ChipDorsch.
That was an especially high beat.
Yeah, that kills you.
Oh my God, I love it. I'm going to go into my weekend so happy now. ChipDorsch. And as you guys go into your weekend and you're living on the edge, I hope you always remember to...
Act casual.
Holy shit.
Oh my God, we did it.
Oh my God, let's get off the phone.
You record in the morning.
I don't think so.
You start recording in the morning while your brain's fresh.
I know, maybe that's the best thing to do. Okay, well, now we gotta go because
we gotta go
casual. I did it right. You can't act casual about it. Okay.
Right.
Bye.
Bye.